In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this 11th talk, I'm hoping to finish this parable section, chapter 4 in St. Mark's Gospel, up as far as verse 34, which ends the parables, and we begin with another thing with verse 35. Okay. So we're starting with verse 21 because we did that parable of the sower and the seed last time. Okay. And he said to them, does a lamp come in order to be put under a basket or a bed? Is it not in order to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except in order to be made manifest. It is not hidden away except that it might come to manifestation. He who has ears for the hearing, let him hear. So here's our Lord now going to try to open up for them so that we're all more receptive to this manner of parables, analogies, images that help us grab things. Very interesting, the word that Mark uses here, Mi erchete holiknos. Does the lamp come in order to be put? It's a strange way to speak, isn't it? Many translators will skip it and just say, is the lamp brought in or something like that? But the text says, does a lamp come? It may be that those are really what our Lord said, remembered by the disciples, because he's the lamp. And he didn't come to be put under a basket or under a bed. Is it not to be put on a lampstand? To be manifest. Now, is he alluding to the cross? Or is it just saying, I want to be heard. That's why I'm preaching. I want to be heard. For nothing is hidden except in order to be made manifest. It is not hidden away except that it might come to manifestation. He who has ears for the hearing, let him hear. In other words, there's nothing hidden that's not going to be made known. Now he's talking here about his words, about his teaching. It'll be made known by the Holy Spirit. It'll be made known by the centuries of saints, living them out and illustrating for us, as well as talking about them, how these parables bear fruit. And so he now begins with a series of short images. I've said enough about these, I think, but I'm not sure. I'll probably return to it in our second section. But see, these are all analogies or images that are meant to help us grasp divine reality. They're not just little stories. So, take note of what you hear. In the measure you measure out, it will be measured out to you and will be added to you. For he who has, to him will be given. And he who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And you see this urgency of our Lord to provoke people into thinking. You see? Take note of what you hear. Listen to what I'm telling you. And when you don't understand it, keep thinking about it and praying about it so that you do. Don't say, I don't understand it. I think I'll just skip. Because it's in the trying that our hearts are purified, that we're sanctified. And that's what the Lord is saying, huh? If you listen to what I say And if it's a little hard for you to understand and you just give up, that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. So many people say, you know, well, I just don't read the scriptures, they're too hard to read. They're not too hard to read. And if you find difficulty, that's when you get a commentary, you know, or turn on one of these programs like mine or plenty of others to understand what's going on. And you'll soon discover that though we don't know the culture or the language, the biggest obstacle in understanding is sin. It's, you know, if I'm attached, when the Lord starts talking, you see, about a parable that we're going to see in a minute, you know, the kingdom of God and all these. It requires effort to understand. It requires effort to get into the movement. So if we just say, I don't get it, very dangerous. So those who are fervent, you see, those who care, those who yield to the work of the Holy Spirit say, I'm not going to quit until I get it. Now, it is enormous. It is not just one-liner, you know, be good to your pets or something, you know. No, it's a whole vision of reality. And everybody has to acquire it for themselves. So he says, take note of what you hear. In the measure you measure out, it will be measured out to you and will be added to you. If you're generous in measuring out, you'll be measured generously. For he who has, to him will be given. Why? Because if you really want to know, you've already got something. And to that will be given. And you start to grow in your knowledge. Oh my goodness. Oh, 20 miles or less from where I'm sitting right now, there are some very lovely evangelical farmers who read the Bible every day. And to them, much is given because they are trying to understand the Bible. Sometimes we can, I don't get it, I think I'll just read Saint so-and-so or Father so-and-so. No, no, no. Go to the Word. And I've told you this story before about Honi the Circle Drawer. Just don't move until you get something. I'm not getting up from this chair, Lord, until you break open this, even if just a little bit. I want to know your Word, you see? That's what this is saying. See, for he who has, to him will be given. And he who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. It's too paltry, huh? Remember that parable like that? You know, the king gives 10, 5, and 1 talents. Talentum is a measure of money. First guy goes out and gets another 10. The second guy goes out and gets another 5. The one who's only got 1, he hides it. Doesn't work with it. And when the master comes back, it's that one he's mad at. Why didn't you take it at least and put it in the bank? I'd get a couple of bucks interest anyway. Why did you just do nothing with what I gave you? That's how we have to look at our lives. You see? Did you do nothing with what I gave you? Well, you only gave me a paltry bit. You don't know that. You don't know that till you've tried. I may have given you such an incredible gift, but unless you try to listen to me and obey me, maybe you have a gift of compassion that is life-giving. But if you don't ever try to console somebody or help somebody, you're never going to know that. And the world will be deprived of a Christ-like compassion for those who suffer. And you'll hear about it. You see? Big ego is a problem, but laziness is a bigger problem. And I think that's what our Lord is saying there. And he said, and now he starts to give examples. Such is the kingdom of God, as if a man were to sow seed on the ground, and he were to sleep and to rise night and day, and the seed were to sprout and grow long, how he doesn't know. Of its own accord, the ground bears fruit, first the shoot, then the ear of grain, then the full grain in the ear. And when the fruit is ready, straightway he puts out the sickle, because the harvest is at hand. Now, what's the point of that parable? You've heard it. Now, this is where you have to strain your body. Lord, I don't. Well, everybody knows if you sow a seed in the ground, it's not going to pop up the next day. So you wait. You go to bed, you get up, you go to bed and wait up. But the seed has power to generate, to become something else right there in the soil. And when it finally comes out, you see, it's a full bearer of grain. And that's harvested for the good of humanity. So how about you? What do you do? You see, of its own accord, the ground bears fruit. First the shoot. What about your own accord? Do the seeds sown in you sprout? Do they help everybody? Do you read the Bible and then ponder it and say, Lord, I'm not getting up from this chair until you explain this to me. Beg him. You know, be aggressive. That's the whole point. And so with many such parables, he would speak the word to them, as they were able to hear, that's to his disciples. He would not speak them without parable, but privately, rather, to his own disciples, he explained everything. So there's a distinction. Well, I want to be a disciple. Fine, sell everything and come follow me. Give up everything you've got and come follow me. Make me everything you've got, and you'll understand. But I got a wife and six kids. Let you come to me, and I'll show you how to do it. It doesn't mean that everybody has to quit their job. But it does mean they have to quit their ego. If you come to me, and I'll explain to you. I remember once driving off to the parish for a Sunday Mass, and one of the lines in the Gospel of Luke was, "And so a man cannot be my disciple unless he renounces everything he owns." I thought, boy, how am I going to preach that? But I can't skip it. It's there. So I'm praying in the car as I'm driving. Lord, what do you mean? And he said, look, it's very simple. Let them come to me, surrender what they've got, and I'll show them how to use it. That's all I'm telling them. I don't want them all, you know, to be hungry every day and their kids going to bed hungry. That's not what I'm saying. But you keep control of your money, control of your future, control of your life, and then you wonder why it's not working out. Come to me, and I'll show you how to make that, you know, seed sprout. Okay. And so you see, that's that first parable. Kingdom of God is as a man were to sow seed on the ground. He were to sleep and to rise night and day, and the seed were to sprout and grow long. How, he doesn't know. Of its own accord, the ground bears fruit. Yes, but you've got to work with that ground. You see? And so then comes the conclusion, and he puts out the sickle because the harvest is at hand. The harvest is at hand. He's now going to get fruit from his teaching. At the end of a year, liturgical year, we're getting ready now to do Christ the King. Does anybody stop and say, now, I have heard 52 homilies, 52 readings of the Word of God, and an explanation. And what's the fruit? What's it done in my life? And I've spent X hours studying the Bible. Did I get a hold of it? Was I aggressive? Was I... You get the picture, huh? The kingdom of God is seed sown in the ground, but you've got to tend it. Okay.